Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick Newmont, only on LA Talk Radio.
Oh, it is Mainstream Metaphysics. I am Nick Newmont. It is December the 10th. We're deep into the holiday season. You are listening to LA Talk Radio, and I don't know how many shows I've done, but I just want to say, with my guest again, Sheena Metal, I am so
grateful. I adore you.
Thank you. And you. I'm so grateful and appreciative to be here every Tuesday night and doing this. And this is one of those things that you wish for. You know, as we get into the holiday season, we're always wishing and hoping and making lists and checking it twice.
Mm-hmm.
And we know who's naughty and nice.
Nice, so I helped you get a radio show.
There we go. Thank you. thank you so much, because this
That's
is so
pleasure.
Cool. And you just did that so thoughtlessly.
Sure.
I don't mean thoughtlessly in a bad way. I mean, she didn't really think about it. She just said it like it is.
Mm.
And you made it happen. And I'm so grateful. It's so cool to do this.
I live in the now. I know that sounds crazy. I was trying to explain this to a friend yesterday who was talking about, I must make a vision board. And if you want to make a vision board, fantastic. But I'm in a place in service where I live in the now. So you mentioned wanting a radio show. Spirit said, do it. I contacted my station owner and we just made it happen.
And there it
is. I don't sit and fuss around about things anymore. I live in a constant state of energetic flow where universe is always giving me messages. And I just say, okay, this and this and this and this. And I just keep going.
Well, that's, you know, something you just said triggered something. You say a lot of good things.
Thank you.
So you're welcome. And thanks for the thought. So everything is moving faster now.
Mm.
People say the year goes faster, time goes faster, and it's true to some degree. But we don't have time to fool around. We don't have time to mess around, okay? We have to get to the point of things. And what I have noticed is that people come into our lives, and because we're working in the spiritual realm, we are moving at the speed of light to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
And if people come into your life, and even though it seems good for the moment, and then all of a sudden it goes a little weird, and you know you haven't done anything wrong, it's just like, well, that didn't work, that didn't last. It's because when you're moving with spirit, and spirit is light, so you're moving at the speed of light, the speed of spirit, then if people don't belong in your life, they're not going to linger. It's we move on, and maybe it's not that somebody does something wrong. It's that you're just not compatible. And whether that's in business, whether it's friendships, whether it's your clients, whatever that is. And that's something to be grateful for, as everything is moving so fast, so that we don't linger or get caught up in something that's just not right for us.
Absolutely.
Spirit is working for us, working with us, and we have to learn that when something doesn't work out, don't second guess it. We always have to be responsible for our behavior. If there's something that goes on and we are part of that situation and circumstance, then we are accountable for our behavior in that.
Sure.
But if something mysteriously just seems to go away, that's because it wasn't right and we're being taken care of.
Absolutely. I had a friend that used to say there are no good people or bad people. There's just people that are not. No, good people or bad people. They're just people that aren't right for you. And I love that, even though I do believe there are bad people. But I love that idea that it's not judging everybody based on you're right and you're wrong. It's just, are you right or wrong for me? Do you resonate with me? And if you don't, then it's simply easy for me to move away.
When I do energy work on people, you know, when we talk about auras, you know, there's an auric configuration, an energetic configuration. When two energetic circles overlap each other, they create a vessel between the two, and it's called vesica piscis, which means fish bladder, basically.
Oh,
you translate it literally.
I didn't think that was going to be the translation.
And so that intersection of the overlap of the two circles is the new vibration between the two individuals, which means that they're compatible or not compatible. And people have a tendency to, when they don't like someone's energy, think that the person has bad energy. I educate my students, don't use that reference. We want to stay away from good or bad because that's a statement of judgment.
Yeah, and I just judge when I said there are bad people. But I do think there are people who most definitely do bad things.
Well, there are people who are ill-intended, definitely. But what I tell my students and clients, you know, when energy with someone else doesn't work, it's that it's not compatible.
Mm.
It's not about good or bad. And I like people to stay away from the concept, the fear-based approach to the word bad, like something bad is happening or somebody is doing something bad to them.
Mm.
You know, I like people to be responsible for their own power and know that when they're not with someone, it's their choice also, that they're making good choices along the way.
Yeah.
As you do, you know, when we are energetic healers and spiritual counsel, there's a lot of responsibility that we have in not only what we say, but how we say it, because there are some people, they hear very literally, like go out the door, down the hall. Some people are very inferential and they read between the lines. And with people like that, we have to make sure that we have said clearly, you know, what we're trying to communicate, and then get back from them. Okay, do you need more information? I try to stay away from words like, "Oh, do you understand?" You know, it's like, did I say that clearly enough? You know,
yeah. So I say, "Does that make sense?" A lot when I get messages in psychic sessions, in spiritual sessions, I'll say something, and then I'll say, "Does that make sense?" Because
like
it makes perfect sense to me the way the universe is saying it, but the universe isn't explaining if it's going to make sense to them.
And a lot of times with when we're talking to people and spirit is talking to us, sometimes it doesn't make sense to them immediately because it's spirit that comes up with it. And sometimes the person is kind of overwhelmed as, where did that come from? Where'd you get
that? Sure, absolutely.
It's like, how would you know that? Well, they're telling me to tell you.
Right, yeah.
So here we are. We're, you know, in the midst of the holiday season, and it's a couple weeks away. You know, we have Christmas in a couple weeks, and then New Year's a week after that. This is, I have to tell you, like you, I'm very busy, that here we are today, you know, December the 10th. I just did my outside lights today.
Wow.
And some of it is that, where I would have been able to do it on a certain day or day off, it rained. Well, I'm not going to hang outside electrical lights in the rain.
No, it's probably not a good idea.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not going to tempt that, especially while I'm standing on a metal
ladder.
Let's
not die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. But anyway, I got them done. They're done. It's not as big as glorious as I would normally do, but it looks nice, neat, clean.
Beautiful.
And in fact, we live in a townhome, and I share this strip of land that's like a postage stamp between my driveway, my neighbor's driveway, and he had done lights to a certain point, and I actually called him on the phone at work, and I said, "Hey, I've got the net lighting, you know." I said, "Do you want me to throw something, you know, over that shrub that's in that strip?" He goes, "Yeah, go for it." So anyway.
Beautiful.
Yep. So now, you know, our lights sort of come together and meet, you know, when they're at the shrub that's covered in white. So, but I love doing that.
I do too.
I love decorating. I love doing all that. I hate when it's time, January, whatever, to take them down.
Oh, I hate when the tree comes down.
And I have actually
such a sad, depressing thing when the tree comes down, right? They're serious about day after Christmas depression. And I use that all the time in my life. I grew up as an actor, and when a play ends, I'm like, oh my God, the day a play ends, it's like day after Christmas depression. But there's something about the day after Christmas. You need to go and shop and get things on sale so you're not so depressed.
Right, exactly. Because it, you know, you have that high, you know, in my family now with the kids and Audrey, we would all open a gift on Christmas Eve.
Sure.
You know, in our pajamas, and then Christmas morning, we would get the stockings first, and whatever was in the stockings, whatever Santa put in the stockings, right? Santa.
Santa always did the stockings.
Right. And then we would open presents. And then, you know, then the next day, you know, it's as you said, it's like, now what?
Right. You'd hope there was another relative you could go to so there was more presents.
Exactly.
Sometimes
exactly.
My mom and I would save a couple for the next couple days after Christmas.
There's a couple times I remember where Audrey is really good at hiding things.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And all of a sudden she's like, oh, I forgot. And there would be like an extra present because something got buried somewhere. And it's like, oh, this is good.
I'll tell you a story that's really sad. So when I was cleaning out my mom's house, my mom used to hide things all year round for Christmas. She would buy things all year round and hide them. But as she got older, I think, she forgot she'd done it. So we didn't have big Christmases the last couple of years she was alive because she was not walking very well and she couldn't shop. And she would either order me something online or we would agree we weren't going to do Christmas. And then I'd run out and fill a stocking for her or something. And then she'd get mad because she said, we said we weren't going to do it. And we'd still order food and, you know, we'd get one of those made dinners and we'd still watch Christmas movies and stuff and Hallmark Channel. So I was cleaning out her house and I was going through her bedroom and I opened this chest in her bedroom and it was all filled with things she had bought for me for Christmas and never given me. There was this little reindeer set. There were two little Celtic music. I collect Celtic music because I'm of Irish descent. Mm-hmm. There were Irish CDs. There were all these little things. It was where she was stashing the presents that she'd forgotten about. That was a very hard day to pull those beautiful little things out and know that those were things she'd picked out for me for Christmas and never given to me.
Mm.
So it was like her last Christmas present to me.
Right. It's kind of similar but different when something is revealed and it's the way it's portrayed on the news or TV. It's like so-and-so, you know, speaks from the grave. They don't really speak from the grave. It's just something that is surfaced.
Sure, sure. You
know, after they have passed. Bennett, that in your case, that triggers memory and emotion and feeling.
God. So much.
Yep.
So much triggered still.
My heart goes out to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
So
she's telling you she's in a better place and you shouldn't feel bad. But but you know, I'm the earthling left here, so sometimes it's still a little hard for me. I understand she's flitting around having fun with God, but sometimes it's still a little hard for the earthling who's left here.
And that's the thing, you know, when people cross over, this is all behind them.
Oh yeah.
That's like we're the survivors are the ones that mourn and grieve and you know, and miss them. We miss them terribly.
Yeah.
You know, we are, as we sit here on the 10th, tomorrow night, Wednesday, it's like 9:30-something West Coast time, 12:30 a.m. East Coast time. We have a full moon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because we're in Sagittarius, it's a Gemini full moon. And so when you get with the Sag-Gemini polarity axis, you know, Sag, the sun is in Sag, so we are being broad-minded. And of course, Sagittarius is ruled by Jupiter, growth, luck, expansion. The saying for Jupiter is it's all good. And with the Gemini full moon, we want to look at what thoughts do we have? What do we obsess on? What do we need to let go? I mean, one of the best things you can do on full moon is really write things down that don't serve you anymore, whether it's habits, patterns, thought forms.
Oh, man.
And you get a cauldron, you get whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
I have a cauldron.
And I have several. And
really? You're a cauldron guy.
Well, because
I love that about you. Who knew? You learn something about your friends every night.
That's right. Hold the cauldron thought. So you throw into the cauldron. And you say, whatever that is, I release whatever it is. And when you throw it in the fire, say, be gone. Okay? And so the full moon, which is the culmination of the moon cycle, is also for releasing. So tomorrow or from tonight, start thinking about what it is that you need to release that stays in your mind. Because, you know, Sagittarius is there, distant, and Gemini is here, right here. So what's on your conscious mind that is bothering you that you need to release? So cauldron. All right. So because I cleanse and bless houses. And I do the pentagram ritual, which is an ancient Judeo-Christian rite. And the concept of the pentagram is not what most people think it is. The symbol of the five-pointed star, the pentagram, represents the five elements.
Okay.
Earth, air, fire, water, and spirit, otherwise known as ether.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also represented by five grand archangels, which most people know. I say it in the Hebrew way, Mikael, Gabriel, Uriel, and Raphael. You know, Michael, Gabriel, mm-hmm. you know, Uriel, Raphael. But the fifth angel is Metatron,
mm-hmm.
the archangel of spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do the pentagram ritual, and the pentagram ritual is based on the fifth branch of the tree of life, the branch of truth, the branch of Gevorah, that is why that works so well, because you're bringing truth and you're removing the veil, that smoke screen that's
yeah.
causing the problem. So because I have several sets of altar tools, I have cauldrons because yeah. that's part of the altar tool. So
do you know when my mom died? This is apparently the show's theme is when my mom died. I was cleaning out her office, her mom cave, and I knew that she was a psychic medium and very spiritual.
Of course.
And I opened up a box, and there was a cauldron and a foil wrap, a roll of charcoal discs mm-hmm. and white sage and dragon's blood resin beads. And I called my friend, who's a witch, and I said, "What's going on here?" And she said, "Honey, Mom was practicing." And I had no idea. And my mom and I knew everything about each other. And I had absolutely no idea that she was practicing. And then I found a fairy wand. Mm-hmm. I found a dragon feather. An eagle feather.
Right.
I found a wizard wand. All these things that I had no idea she had. So she was doing a little practicing and I just didn't know. And I felt very much like it was my legacy to carry that on. So that's something I never would have ever thought I was going to do until she passed. So now I do a full moon and a new moon ritual. I've been doing it since June of last year, every single full and new moon. And I put it out on Facebook and I let people send me their prayer requests. And then I read them and throw them in the cauldron for the universe. And
great.
Yeah,
that's
I love
perfect.
It. I love it. It's a good, it's a nice bit of service.
It is. It is. There are times that, as you've caught wind of it over the past year, I've been more public with the fact that I channel Merlin.
Sure.
That I absentee channel Merlin and it comes through and people really enjoy those sessions. And for a while, we would do a combination of Merlin. I would channel Merlin for people. And then we would, as long as the weather was cooperating, we would go outside and do the full moon ritual and release. And people feel so good at those events.
Yeah.
And some people say out loud, "I release whatever," and some people keep it to themselves.
Yeah.
And just throw it in the fire.
I keep it to myself. I write it down, but I don't need to like show off in front of the fire and tell you everything I'm releasing. But some people need that healing. They need to yell it out loud for the healing. I'm a silent releaser. So my piece of paper. But when I'm writing, I'm like,
of course. But that's where the power is, because the act of writing is an idiomotor response to the subconscious.
Absolutely.
So when you write, you know, you're programming into your brain, and also when you write, your eyes see what you're writing,
mm-hmm.
and your brain believes what your eyes see.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why writing is really powerful.
Mm-hmm. I always tell people that get a journal and start writing down how you feel. It's a great mm-hmm. way to purge.
Exactly.
Get it out.
Did you know that I learned this a long time ago, that if you have a journal and on one side you write your dreams that you had, on the other side you write actually what's going on in your life,
mm-hmm.
in whatever that is, that over time you start to see where they correlate.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I encourage people to journal in different ways a lot. Get their thoughts and get their feelings out. It's like recently dealing with a female client who has been holding on to some pain with a former lover. And I said, did you ever actually write you know, a letter that you didn't actually send him, and that got your feelings out. And she said, no, a few years before, my other therapist told me to do that.
Wow.
And I said, did you do it? And she goes, no. And I said, well, your homework is to sit down and write that letter and bring that into me. And I said, we will burn that together. Mm. This is fascinating. You can chime in on this. So this woman was still holding this former boyfriend very accountable and didn't want to write the letter. She said, because then I would have to forget. And I went, what? Mm. And well, because that means if I forget, that means he gets away with it. And I said, no,
oh my goodness.
No. First of all, that's a judgment call.
Yeah.
And there were other things on her part that I will not go into at the moment.
Okay.
Where it's like, well, wait a minute. This is your part in that. That doesn't make you wrong, but you have a part here too.
Mm-hmm.
But and of course, Sheena, chime in on this. When people hold on to something that, you know, you're angry, and maybe that other person did something that is really unethical, out of character, and when years have gone by, they really have let it go. When you're angry about something, it doesn't matter who you're angry at. You know, you're still holding that inside.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also think that sometimes, and I say this with love, it's easier for us to blame an external factor than it is to blame ourselves.
Well, true.
And even if you're in a relationship with the meanest, nastiest person in the world, you have to hold yourself accountable for your participation in it. And then you have to forgive yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to do both those things. And you can't blame it all on the other person.
Right. Because when we blame, and this is a component of the throat chakra, it's called the victimization loop.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're moving from whatever the event is, even if the other person is the culprit, and you go into anger, blame, claiming you're not responsible, from that point, you're giving up your power. And ultimately, the universe has control, and it's just a recreation of events.
Mm-hmm.
But when you can get to a point one, when you can come to a place of understanding and you can release judgment, you can be compassionate to yourself and look at where you can take responsibility for your role in the situation,
sure,
which is very multifaceted. Finally, you can get to self-forgiveness, which is from this point, I'm making new, better, different choices, and I will not subject myself to that again.
Yeah.
And sometimes people do self-victimize through self-blame. There is another component to that where, I can't believe I was so stupid, and I can't believe, well, no, stop doing it. I look at it like it's California no-fault insurance.
Yeah.
At this point, we're not blaming anyone.
Yes.
From this point, we're starting over.
Yes.
And that's part of the inner forgiveness. So if we go into the full moon, and this is perfect timing tomorrow, if there's something you're holding on to, whether you are blaming yourself or blaming someone else, that's the perfect time to release that and go into self-forgiveness.
Absolutely.
And it's not about going and forgiving the other person. In fact, you have to actually be careful of that, because if somebody has done something to you and you go up to them and say, well, I forgive you, sometimes that comes back like a pie in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Like, forgive me for what? I didn't. Well, so that, don't subject yourself to that.
It's not worth the confrontation. Sometimes they just want attention. Some people do bad things just to get attention. I use the word bad again. I'm sorry. But sometimes people do inappropriate things just to get attention, and they're doing it so you'll come up and pay attention to them. So don't give them, especially people that are dealing with narcissists and narcissistic people right now. They'll do anything. They don't know the difference in good, bad attention. So they'll do anything just to get your attention. So don't give it to them.
Exactly. When I do the energy work and say I've had to cut a cord,
mm-hmm.
and let's say it is to an ex-lover, and there's this exchange of energetic consciousness, I tell them, like, this will probably snap back on them,
right?
You know, like a bungee,
right? And, sure,
which will cause them to reach out. They'll sense something. So don't take the call. Don't return the text. You know, let yourself heal, and don't give them, as you say, the attention, because they, it's all about them.
Yeah. Just let it go. Let it go and put your attention into something else. And if you're angry at them, if you want to tell them off, if you have to sit inside your car and have a conversation with yourself and imagine what you were going to tell them, great. And then take all of that pent up frustration and anger and feelings of hurt and find a way to channel it into something good for someone who deserves it.
Exactly. And when one continues to be angry or upset because of the past, you're actually holding yourself back from the good things that are waiting to come into your life. It's like a plane, for whatever reason's on a holding pattern. It's flying around the airport and it can't land. Let the plane land. You know, just let go of it. Sometimes it does take going to an advisor, a therapist, to help you through the process. And, there was a time that the word therapy was kind of a dirty word. Now it's,
now it's everything.
It is. Because we know we need help, and asking for help is a sign of strength. It's not a sign of weakness.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Before the before we started the show, you and I had an interesting conversation, and I'd like to bring that onto the air when we were talking about sexual energy and spiritual energy. Mm. The concept of sex and sexual energy is so overplayed now. And when we look at especially younger people and what people post, in whether it's in Instagram or Twitter or whatever, I mean, people are finding out that there are private things that just should be left private.
Sure,
but
there's no more privacy in the world.
No,
none.
There isn't. So you have to just be careful what you say. Be careful what you think. I'll set it up with this because, I do energy work on the aura and the chakras all the time. The two highest forms of energy that humans have are spiritual and sexual. Fine. But they run in the same pipeline, which is the second chakra, the one at the navel, the sacral chakra. And that creates a lot of confusion for people. And you can have both, and both are fine. It's a matter of, as mature adults, how do we discern that and what's appropriate in that moment. We have to know that when we feel a connection with someone, what is the connection, and exercise the right energy. But what you were saying, Sheena, before we came on the air was about sexual behavior, and it doesn't have to be that. Okay. Can you kind of replay that in your head? And what we were...
I was talking a lot about the journey of women in the human race and how I think because, one, we've been so sexualized by men throughout history, and two, because we feel like we've been oppressed sexually, a lot of modern-day women in the 21st century now, their sexuality becomes everything. And it becomes the root of their spirituality. It's almost like they believe that God lives in their vagina. And as bizarre and sometimes interesting and delightful a concept as that seems, we are souls having a human experience. Part of our human experience is that we are mammals, and hence we have sexual urges and biological urges and urges to mate because we're mammals. But that's really part of our human experience. And so while I love sexuality and I'm very open about mine and have always been, and I love sex because I'm a human, I don't believe that, the center of my soul is between my legs, nor do I believe that sexuality has to do with every little part of my spirituality. Because I don't think my soul has a gender.
Well, the soul doesn't have a gender.
And I don't think it has genitals.
No, that's true.
But some people, maybe think it does.
Right. No, it's we have to learn as we evolve to coexist within our spirituality and our sexuality.
Sure.
That's really what it is. I mean, when you take that, what I just said, into the interaction with another person, and when it's done perfectly, then it becomes tantric.
Mm-hmm.
where it's intertwined. We as humans, we don't realize unless a person is very, you know, metaphysically savvy, we don't, or spiritually savvy, don't realize those two energies intertwine around each other and how delicate we are. We as a human race have done a lot of damage when it comes to spirituality and sexuality, especially where the oath of celibacy has been imposed. And we know that, first of all, anything about the chakras, the soul body, is normal and natural.
Yes.
You know, science, religion, psychology do not dictate the chakras. You know, that's part of our energy field. It's part of when you commingle the soul and a physical vehicle, this energy field is what supports us, basically. And each one of those chakras plays into the various realities of our life. It's not all mystical. They support the everyday reality of how we think and how we eat and how we love and how we communicate.
Sure.
How we create, how we survive. You know, are we centered and grounded? What is our relationship with the everyday world?
Absolutely.
It's not all this stuff that's way up here, as I have said before, with cotton candy spirituality. It's embedded in reality.
Sure.
Like that. This time of year, I'll take a peppermint spirituality.
Yeah. Candy cane spirituality.
Yes, exactly.
Just swirls up and up and up, and it just gets more delicious as it goes.
Well, that's that swirl, that's kundalini.
Exactly. It's peppermint kundalini. But that's a really good point. And I think for people on a spiritual journey, one of the hardest lessons and hardest things for them is to find a way to mix their spiritual self and intertwine it with their human self and mix their three-dimensional life and their spiritual life. Because it's really easy to, as my mom used to say, go off and squat on a lily pad and develop your spirituality. But if you're not applying it to your actual life, you're not really learning the lesson.
Right. It's like if you elected the kind of life where, say, you were a monk in the hills of Tibet where all you did is meditate, well, how, that's a spiritual life, but how connected into reality
right.
is that? There's a concept within us, a line of intention that goes from 3 feet above our head down through us all the way into the core of the earth. It's called the Hara line, H-A-R-A. And it's very difficult for us as humans to be perfectly intentional. So that line of light, instead of being very tight, you know, like a rope, it gets slack in it because we get pulled in different directions. And so as the Hara line comes down into us underneath the chakras, well, maybe we're not as strong here, so we go a little sideways this way. And then because we're a little weaker here, then we're a little sideways like this.
Sure.
So it gets a little swirly as it comes down through us, and then periodically you have to go back in and become fully intentional and tighten that line of light again.
Sure.
But we are pulled in different directions by different things because we do choose to interact with people. We choose a life that is part of the physical realm where we work, we live, we eat, we do whatever it is. We love, we relate, we procreate. You know, it's a full life. And really, when you get down to it, what says it all in a very genuine level is, are you happy? You know? And not happy because, but is a person really happy? So this is, we are complex beings, given that we are a soul that comes from spirit and comes into this physical incarnation to be a mammal and then have these unwritten spiritual laws that govern us, which we go an entire lifetime trying to remember what all that is and learn and then be this person in everyday life, whether you're, you know, whatever job you do, are you a parent, whatever that is, you know, being that person to the best of your ability. On one hand, it's easy to be human if you want to just kind of go with the flow. On the other hand, it's also difficult too, because when we place expectations on ourselves, there's always, what's the next thing? You know, am I doing, it's kind of like looking up the sky going, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing here? But we know that within ourselves, because we feel good or not feel good about our actions.
Yeah.
As we take actions. And there's times that, because people would say this, well, what if you have to do something and it's really what you're supposed to do, but you don't feel good about it? Well, you know, therein, sometimes we don't always like doing the right thing.
No.
Under the heading of a parent saying, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you.
Right.
Do you want to add more to that? Like, well, doing the right thing and it doesn't always feel right?
Sometimes the right thing is not the selfish thing that we would like to do. It's not the thing we would like to have. It's not the convenient thing. It's not the thing that in our own need to control everything, we've convinced is the way something is supposed to be. Do you know? Typical example, you're in partnership with somebody who treats you horribly and you know you should go, but in your mind, you're still trying to pretend they're the person that you've created them to be and not who they actually are. So you fight it and fight it and fight it. I think that's an example of...
So,
you know,
in a way, what you're saying is humans, sometimes we create people in our image and likeness.
Well, yeah, we do. Just in the same way, we take our animal companions and we give them human names.
Mm-hmm.
And we humanize their actions, you know. I always laugh because my cat's name is Molly, and I say it's very nice of her to allow me to call her Molly, because the truth is her problem name is probably like...
Right.
But she, you know, she humors me, and I think that's very nice. But we are humans. We want to make everything what we want it to be.
Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, when you get into the higher choirs of angels, like the top three, the seraphim, the ufanim, the cherubim, they're sacred geometric forms and swirls of fire. You know, we humanoid everything.
Yeah.
And not all angels look like humanoid.
Right. Like babies with harps.
Oh, the cherubs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's
naked babies. It's very strange. So humans are very strange.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but that's humans' comfort level in trying to take a taste of spirituality.
Yeah.
Well, let's say I don't like it in that form, but I'm going to put some caramel syrup on it, and okay, I can eat that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We
I'm
we,
much more comfortable if you'll present as a naked baby.
Right.
So strange.
Well, it's like, you know, when you get into source energy, which is just full power, it's not a bearded man on a throne.
No.
You know, here's the best way to put it, especially since we're here in Hollywood. Science fiction has done a number on the human imagination. So anything that is unknown, unseen, is going to strike a certain amount of fear in a high percentage of the population because they have imagery in their mind of non-physicals or non-terrestrials are going to be of some kind of ilk that's a threat.
Sure.
And, when I go and do house cleansings, you know, a lot of times I've said that humans are scarier than ghosts.
Oh, God, yes. Almost always.
By the way, you were saying on a show we did a few weeks ago about the house at the end of the drive.
Oh, right. Sure. My friend David Oman, house that's right on Cielo Drive where the Manson murders took place. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I have to go back there again sometime.
That's a scary energy, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. But it's like, but it doesn't bother me though.
No.
You know, I had here this, you'll find this interesting. I didn't tell you. Recently, I was referred by a longtime friend of mine who is a feng shui person that when it involves what we say in everyday language is ghost busting,
okay,
she has them call me, okay? And I go in and do what I do. And so I got put in contact with some people recently, and the way they described where they live this is the crazy part. They lease this house, they rent it, and they looked at pictures, but they didn't do a walkthrough.
So, okay, that's very common. That surprises me, but it's more common than you would think.
Well, as it turns out, there's activity in the house, poltergeistal kind of energy.
Okay,
there's, you know, evidence, and they when I went through what it would take to do it. And this is one of those things. When people are in pain, And you get this because people have to tell you their story. Mm-hmm. And compassionately, you allow them to tell their story.
Sure.
Because they're trying to get it off their chest. So when I spoke to this individual and learning what's going on, and I said, yeah, I can take care of it. But when it got to the part of what I charge to do something of that magnitude and so on and so forth,
uh-oh,
he shuddered and didn't have me do it. Now, on one hand, he's telling me how terrible it is, and I believe that and what he described, and it probably would be a bit of a circus for me to go and, you know, rectify the situation.
Sure.
But it's what I do. I'm just curious, as I just put it out there, as to what they're dealing with, because if it's that bad, if it's as bad as they say it is, and they have a couple young kids and the wife is pregnant with one on the way in the next month or so, that's got to be dealt with in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Because the reason I bring it up is because he described it similar to David Oman's house.
Mm.
There's activity.
Mm-hmm.
So
I grew up in a house like that.
That's a picnic.
Mm-hmm. It's a real hayride. I shot a paranormal pilot once with a couple of friends of mine. One was a believer and one was a disbeliever. And they used to tour the country as comics, and they would often stay in a room together, and she would see everything in the hotel and he would see nothing. So they brought me in to be the third. And we wound up filming our pilot in this townhome in the San Fernando Valley that his friends owned. And she was pregnant, and he was an editor for a big reality show. And they had this room in their home that was so haunted that they wouldn't even go in it.
Jeez.
But they wanted us to clean it because they were going to make it the nursery. And I said, you're going to be out of your mind. You won't even go in this room. You're going to put your baby in this room? Well, can't you just fix it so we can put the baby in here? I'm like, yeah. How about you just put the baby somewhere else and make this an office?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, people don't think about.
No, people have asked me, well, can you just clean one room? It's like, no. You think four walls are going to keep
the maid come over and just clean one room? No.
No. No, that's fascinating work. It's tricky business, but it's fascinating work.
Yes.
I look forward to the challenging jobs like that.
Mm-hmm, me too.
So
yeah.
Yeah, but I hope I get more information as to what they did, what these people do or don't do with this situation and mm-hmm. how this comes out.
Yeah.
Cuz it was a circus from the way he described it, and I believe him.
Yeah.
I
wow.
Really do.
Wow.
So when we, I love doing shows with you because we do appropriate tangents and then we were
I
able
love
to
that.
Come back.
Then we're back. Yeah.
So when it comes to second chakra mm-hmm. and sexuality and, you know, now over the next 7 years, going back into May of 2018, when Uranus went into Taurus, this is the feminist movement.
Mm.
All right. And, you know, Uranus makes everything happen all of a sudden. So how do we go from this polarization of where women were to women seemingly overcompensating? How do we get it to the middle? Since I'm not a woman, I can't answer
that. I mean, I think
that
we just need to start thinking of ourselves as spiritual beings. It doesn't mean that you can't love your gender and love your sexuality. But you need to think of yourself as a spirit first, as a soul first, so that we all connect in the commonality, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm Irish, but I don't think my soul is Irish. I love being Irish in this incarnation, but I don't believe I've been Irish in every incarnation. I don't think when I die, my soul is green and has a shamrock stuck in it. You know, I think it's somehow we think that if we embrace a human collective, a universal being collective, somehow we're renouncing our individuality. And it's not. You can have both things at one time. Well, I'm a lot of things, and I love being all of those things, but not one of those things defines me.
Well, we are connected. We are a collective consciousness.
Absolutely.
We're all connected.
Right.
So I think if we are allow ourselves to, and this is a tough one, allow ourselves to go into more of a spiritual vulnerability and drop our guard and just be able to be.
Yeah.
I think a lot of things will shift, but for whatever reason, people have their guard up on so many different things.
Yeah.
I mean, the great polarity that goes on right now in this country is all political.
Yeah.
And all the finger pointing and everybody's got to just like, okay. I've heard arguments between people where they're arguing for the cause of the party.
Mm.
And it's like, well, you want a good life. You want a good life and you want similar things. So why these arguments?
Yeah. And it's not just political. It's economic. It's regional. It's
cultural.
It's so many different things. We can find so many reasons to tear each other apart and to criticize each other's differences instead of celebrate them.
Right. And as you've been saying a little bit ago, it's even gender-based.
Oh, my
too.
God. It's so gender-based.
It's like, geez. You know, it's like we need to just kind of just go, okay. I'm going to take a step back and I'm going to look at me and you look at you and let's see who we really are in all of this. And that's another thing to release at the full moon tomorrow night is whatever form of prejudice that people are holding on
Absolutely.
To.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because the Sagittarius sun is broad-minded and you know, as it reflects into the moon, those are feelings. Mm-hmm. So where do we need to grow tomorrow night or in the wee hours, with this full moon, what part of our mindset can we say, I don't need that anymore. That doesn't serve me. I love the full moon.
I do too.
Have to go out.
And the new moon. I love them both.
Well, the new
for different reasons.
The new moon is when we set things in motion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I work with Merlin a lot and Merlin works from the shadows. Not in terms of dark energy, but Merlin works with the new moon. You know, he's cloaked and makes things happen.
And this is a crazy full moon. I saw it this morning when I was driving here. I've been here at LA Talk Radio for 10 hours. And I saw it. So if my hair is not perfect, that's why. And I saw it this morning at 11 o'clock in the morning, just shining in the high noon, that thing when I'm like, oh, God, this one's going to be, everybody hold on to your asses because this one's going to be intense.
Yeah, and
when can see it that big at noon, it's got surprises for you at night.
Mm-hmm. And because, the Jupiter rules the ninth house in astrology, Sagittarius, which is long distance travel, and Mercury rules Gemini, third house, short distance travel. Please give people space on the roads, folks.
Yeah.
And as you're out holiday shopping, be kind. Mercury rules commerce. And Jupiter rules abundance, which is also known as overindulgence, overkill. So let's watch whatever we're imbibing or indulging over the next couple of days and be kind to each other. We've got a couple minutes left before we're out of here. So are you ready for the holidays? You shopping? What are you doing?
I got some shopping done. I have a little more to do. I'm getting there. I'm not behind, really. I've got lots of events. I don't have a lot of free days before the holidays. I've got so much going on. So I'm thinking about taking the week between Christmas and New Year's off, just so I have a little downtime. I think I need some downtime.
Well, I think you've earned it.
Yeah. And downtime for me doesn't mean I've got a TV show to outline during that time. I'm going to rebuild my website. Downtime for me is just, under the covers with the cat, working on my computer.
I look at downtime, I could sit and watch TV or it could be with my family, but for me, it is disengaging from the intensity of the work that I do with my clients.
Yeah. And I still read for clients during downtime. I just don't have to go out of the house. That's what downtime is for me. Yeah.
So you're still able to do that. Well, I get to a point where it's like, okay, I need a break.
Yeah.
I need to turn it off for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I understand.
Because then I have to be available to be enjoyed and enjoy my family and still having teenage girls at home.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to play.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to have fun. And speaking of time, we're almost at the end. Sheena, tell everyone, as you tell everyone on LA Talk Radio, how to get a hold of you if they wish.
I am raising yourvibration.com. My email is Sheena@IamRaisingYourVibration.com. You can text me, 818-437-0886, or just Google Sheena Metal. I think I'm the only one.
I think you are. And I am Nick Newmont, co-owner of the Newmont Center for Balanced Living in Agoura Hills. You can reach me at nnewmont, N-N-E-W-M-O-N-T, @gmail.com, or the office line for the center is 818-865-8770. Reach out to both of us. Have any questions, drop us a line. We're both on Facebook.
Yep.
And this has been Mainstream Metaphysics. I'm Nick Newmont with Sheena Metal.
Hi.
And we will see you both again very soon, or you'll hear us both very soon. And we're wishing you wonderful holidays. See you soon.
You're listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick Newmont, only on LA Talk Radio.